What was the question? The question is, how will God manifest to us and the world doesn't know Him? So he is curious, and he was one of the disciples of Jesus Christ. Let's look at Jesus' answer. Verse 23, Jesus says, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Wow. So he's going to make his home with us. Think about it. Is God at home in your home? And does God feel left out? One of the things that we didn't get to do or didn't get to have in our present house, which, you know, we're going to get another house sooner or later, and is to have a room all dedicated to prayer. I would love that. Yeah, because of limited rooms, we can't do that at the moment. I would love to dedicate just a place in a home called the room. You can call it what you want. The prayer room, the worship room. And of course, I understand that God is everywhere. That we'll talk afterwards. But I'm talking about God being welcome in our home. Think about that for a moment. Does God feel welcome in your home? If God sent an angel ahead of time to prepare His presence, would He have to get rid of half your staff before He feels welcome? He looks around and the things that are going on, the things that you have, the things that displease Him, does He have to get rid of half those things? And in the first place, if you want His presence, why don't you get rid of those things? Of course, sin will be one of the first things to go. Does God feel welcome in your home? Let's hit a little closer home. Does God feel welcome in your heart, in your life? Is He always in your thoughts? Or is He only in your thoughts once in a blue moon, which you and I know is very, very rare. In fact, almost never. How welcome does God feel in our life? Now, I believe personally that when Jesus says, we will come, that indicates a higher degree of His presence. Now, there's a difference between I will manifest. And now He says, we will come. And you know the we contains the Father too, and you know how big the Father is. The whole earth cannot contain Him. He says, oh yeah, but what about my little house? It will explode. We're not talking naturally. God is just talking about special degree of God's presence. Oh, I would wish the day would come when God will fill my house with His glory, that when I open the front door, I can't get it. Wouldn't it be nice? Say, oh, thank you, Lord. Of course, you don't want that to happen in the middle of winter at night. Say, God, can I have a small place where I can be warm? Don't worry about it. If it's really God, it will warm you out right around the surroundings too. But it will be nice one day when I get back to the home, I open and I can't get in. There was a story by Jerry Sewell who mentioned how when there was this prayer time that they had before a convention in the United States in one of the hotels, and they were spending so much time worshiping, praying, that literally some of the people saw a cloud surround the whole room. And so I think it was Jerry Sewell and some of his other people. They were inside the room praying, and so they didn't realize there was a presence of God there. As you know, sometimes the presence of God is that people don't know it. Bible? Yes. Let me give you a scripture verse. Remember when Elisha
was standing looking at all the people, and he had one helper there with him, and the Syrian army was surrounding him to capture him. And then the young boy next to him says, "Master, master, look, the Syrian army all around us, they're here to capture us. Help!" 000 911 in America. Help! And Elisha says, "They who are with us are more than they who are against us." The little boy's eyes open wider. Look at the master. Look at all around. Starts counting. 1, 2. Looks around the Syrian army. 100, 200, 300, 400. His master say, "They that are with us are more than they who are against us." And, excuse me, no conversations here, please. Not when I'm preaching. Anything, just go straight out. Thank you. "And they that are with us are more than they who are against us." That's what he said. And the little boy found it hard to comprehend. And Elisha says, "Open his eyes, Lord." Suddenly the little boy's eyes was open, and he see these fiery horses and fiery chariots all around, more than the Syrian army. So God can be present and put his spiritual presence there without us knowing one thing. And so there was this story. This Jerry Savai is praying inside with a group of people. They didn't know that the presence of God was so visible. But on the outside, some of them were seeing this cloud in that room where they were praying. And this one of these pastors, and later he was the one who shared, says, when he saw this cloud, he realized the presence of God was going to be there. And was there. And he tried to get into the cloud. And he couldn't get in. It was like a thick substance that he just couldn't get in. It was like an invisible wall that he hit. And so he has this idea. He says, he starts from far. He's going to run into the presence of God. Good idea. Smart Alec. His name was not Alec. But let's name him Pastor Alec. Okay. And so he did it. He ran and then he hit the presence of God. He bounced and fell back. Couldn't get in. In the cartoon story, you go, "Ew, boing." He bounced back. Couldn't get in. Interesting testimony. How nice isn't it that today you go back to your house, you open in the presence of God, and go, and you go, you couldn't get in. "Oh God, you're welcome. Stay as long as you want." Nice to have the presence of God. But how nicer it is to have the presence of God fill our life. And that it's so thick that it literally surrounds us. Hallelujah. The presence of God. Full in our lives. There are different degrees. So I believe that was a different degree when Jesus says, we will come to him and make our home with him. And as he continued speaking in the area, there are different other things that he talked about, the Holy Spirit doing and working. But the presence of God, consideration number one, there are different degrees of God's presence. So we need to progress within each degree of God's presence in our lives. From Ephesians chapter 3, the passage that we read just now, you realize that he was praying for them to get into a deeper degree of God's presence. Now, how much presence can God bring?
What brings him? If in the Old Testament it's outward and it's physical, you could do some things there. But in the New Testament, everything is inward. It has to do with our heart. So how do we measure those things? Ephesians 3 helps again. If you, before you go to Ephesians, if you look carefully, consideration number two, consideration number one is that the presence of God is in degrees. So don't ever be satisfied with whatever degree of presence you got. Don't. Remember, each one of us may be at different growth and different spiritual state. And you will have different degrees of experience of God's presence. Don't stop there. There is always a measure more. Until we meet Him face to face. And there will be more things He will reveal. The degrees of His glory. Consideration number two. There are conditions to His manifested presence. It's not just like, you know, it will come on everybody. There are conditions to different degrees of His presence. It is not, He promised His general presence. I call it the first Lord. Emmanuel, God with us. We have a measure of God's presence in our life. The moment you're born again, there's a measure of God's presence in our life. Without that, we will die. So He does put a measure of His presence. That's why He says, go into all the world and preach the gospel, for lo, I am with you. Even unto the end of the age. So there is a measure of His presence. His God, Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. Romans 5 says, when we accepted Jesus, His love is shed abroad in our hearts. So consideration number two is that the degrees of God's presence are all conditional. Because if God will have it His way, He wants to bring it all at once. They are conditional. Even in John chapter 14, you notice there are some conditions put up. In John 14, verse 21, it says, He who has my commandments and keeps them. Now that is a condition. Because there are those who has His commandment and don't keep them. There are those who don't even consider His commandment. That is a condition. When the conditions are met, He says, I will manifest. And in verse 23, there's a condition of deep, 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 deep love. He says, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. My Father will love him. That is a condition. Before we will come, it says, if anyone loves me and keeps my word. Again, conditional. So consideration number two is that the presence of God in our individual life, in our corporate life, is conditioned upon our obedience and our love. The degrees to which we are obedient and the degrees to which we love Him is the same exact degree that God can manifest His presence in our life. If we are disobedient, we haven't reached a point of sin unto death yet, we are reduced to the minimum level of His presence. That's a stark revelation in theology to realize that, you know, that God is not just present, but He could be present in degrees. And now we realize that God is not just present in degrees, His presence in different degrees are conditional promises. Based on His fulfillment, then He manifests. And we come down to the question, perhaps God is not as present and as manifest and as full in His church because we haven't met His conditions. We haven't fulfilled all His requirements. So that's consideration number two. Conditional. The presence of God is conditional. Condition upon us fulfilling His word that we love Him. And chapter 3 of Ephesians, in Ephesians 3 that we have just read. Its condition upon